All right, Vanna, thank you for reading that. Those are some pretty harsh words. I didn't really want to read it. So, you're robbing God. That's heavy duty. So thanks. Think about for a second. What's the oldest thing that you own? The thing that you have that's the very oldest. It's going to be different for each one of us. But the oldest thing that you own. Maybe it's a family heirloom. Maybe it's a piece of furniture, jewelry. Maybe it's a coin. I don't know. I've got a coin that's from 1867. That might be the oldest thing I own. We've got some furniture like in our bedroom that was my great grandparents, and it's over 100 years old. And but the thing is, like, when it's something that old, like the furniture, it's the exception to the rule. Like, most of my furniture is not that old. It doesn't last that long. This furniture is only that old because it's been coddled and protected and taken care of, even refurbished a time or two. And things don't usually last that long. That's the exception to the rule. So even the oldest thing that you own is not going to last forever. It's going to fall apart. It's going to disappear. It's not going to last forever. Think about, for many of us, the most expensive thing you have on your person right now would be your smartphone for many of us. Mine's on the floor, but it's... but even if you got the very first iPhone when it came out and you still have it, it would only be 10 years old. Just 10 years old. Things don't last forever. In today's scripture lesson, we hear Jesus, he's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching us to invest in the kind of treasures that will last rather than the kinds of treasures that perish. Well, what does that even mean for us today? That's what we're going to be talking about. Is Jesus just talking about the things we purchase or we choose not to purchase? Or is there something more to what he's talking about? How does this apply to us today? We're talking about stewardship. How are we stewards of our lives? What does that look like? So we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. This is Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Before we read it, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. And as hard as these words are for us today, we thank you for them. And we pray that you might speak to us through your Holy Spirit, that these words would reach deep in our hearts today and teach us, help us to make the changes in our lives that we need to in response to your word today. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. What does he mean here? Is it wrong to own stuff? We can't have anything that belongs to us? How can this possibly apply to our modern world? Maybe it worked back then when Jesus was talking, but how does it apply now? Well, let me assure you, the words were equally hard for people to hear back then. Okay? This is Jesus, I think, one of the primary lessons he's trying to teach us here is a lesson against selfishness. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. When our view in storing things up becomes ourself, when we're focusing on ourselves, that kind of selfishness Jesus is teaching, that's dangerous. That affects us deep in our hearts when we're selfish. And he says you must avoid that. You see, the gospel of Jesus is, by definition, selfless. Jesus came to earth to give of himself. If Jesus were selfish, he would have never come to earth, right? He would have never agreed to this whole mission. Jesus' very coming to earth is a selfless act. We learn through the scriptures to look to others' interests before our own, to consider others better than ourselves. We're taught the ways of Jesus, the ways of being selfless. And when you seek to store up things for yourself, it runs contrary to this gospel message of Jesus. It runs contrary to what Jesus taught. It runs contrary to the way Jesus lived himself. And so Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but because what happens? Well, he says, moths come. You don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you've had some trouble with moths. They eat clothes, right? Some certain kinds they like better than others. And apparently, like I've heard people that like it gets in their food, in their pantry and stuff too. I mean, moths are bad. They consume all kinds of things. Destroying these fine status symbols that we have of our clothes with their brand name logos and everything. And he says rust also comes to destroy. And he's not just talking about what we call rust today that affects only certain kinds of metals, but it includes bugs and varmints that would eat crops and destroy the stored up grains and things like that. It's like the futility. He's trying to teach us a little about the futility of storing up all manner of things in our homes or otherwise. That can be destroyed by a fire, be destroyed by some natural disaster. And then he says, thieves break in and steal. Even the things that you think might be imperishable, like a diamond ring. Jesus says, no, that's temporary. A thief could come by and steal that at any time. And we can protect against that to some extent and everything, but the truth is that no possession on earth is guaranteed to last. Even that thing that you have, that's the oldest thing that you own, is not guaranteed to last. Now, Jesus is not teaching that we can own absolutely nothing here on earth. He had the opportunity to teach that. He never said that. He never said you can't own anything. What he's talking about is when our possessions begin to own us. And it affects our heart deep inside. That's what Jesus is talking about, this prohibition against storing up for ourselves. I think for us, this particular week of the year, this is a timely message. When I dare you to go home and flip on the TV and try to watch for more than maybe 10 minutes, and you'll see ads telling you that you need to store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Ads telling you that you need a new TV. The one you have is so old and such old technology, your life will be so much better if you just have a 4K 65-inch TV. Or whatever else the next thing is for you. Just all these sales and Black Friday and all of these things. The world is telling us to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. So this is very countercultural, what Jesus is teaching here. Avoid storing up treasures on earth. Instead, Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So I think Jesus is talking about money here as a part of it. He's talking about money. Where do you invest and spend your money? So when we look at our money, Jesus says, instead of accumulating stuff for yourselves, invest in something that actually does last forever. Invest in other people. You see, Those things that we have are going to perish at some point, the stuff of earth. But each and every person that God has created is an eternal human being. We are created to exist forever. Okay? When we believe in Jesus and we go to heaven after we die, there's not an end to that, right? We are created to exist forever. So when we invest in other people, we are storing up treasures in heaven, treasures that do not perish. When you help someone who's hungry to find food, when you give shelter to someone who's outside, when you look at other people's needs and you take care of those with your finances, that is one way we can store up treasures in heaven instead of on earth. But Jesus, I think Jesus is not just concerned about money when he's talking about treasures here. Money is a part of it, but I don't think that's the only thing he's concerned about. Look at Jesus' life, for example. Where in the Gospels does it talk about the money Jesus had and how he spent his money? Well, there's really not much about that, right? Every once in a while, I mean, he may have a coin, but there's not Jesus. We don't even really know how he was able to eat, except that people provided for him. We don't see him buying money. He asks for stuff a lot, right? But he doesn't. So we don't have a lot of guidance from Jesus on actually spending money. However, his entire existence on earth was spent storing up treasures in heaven. So how was that? Well, it's obviously not just money. Jesus spent his life investing in people, not with money, but with his time. I was convicted this week by the thought that Jesus, as he lived on the earth, had 24 hours in every day, just like me, just like all of us. And when I look at how Jesus spent his hours, he spent them taking care of people. Jesus was always going to the people who needed him the most, looking at those who the world had turned its back on. He would go and find those outsiders and he would spend time with them. Often he would heal people. He would spend one of the most valuable resources, his time, with them. These are parts of our stewardship. How do we steward our time? We've all been given the same amount of time. We may have different financial resources, but we've all been given the same amount of time. How do we spend it? How can we learn from Jesus to invest more in the things of heaven like he did? A good example of this was something I saw on our mission trip to Thailand. Now, I found out this morning that most of the church thought I was in Belize with their mission team this last week, which would have been great. I like Belize. But Pat and the mission team from Belize, the rest of them, I think, maybe in bed, but Pat made it here this morning, so thank you, Pat. But they came back last night very late from Belize. But I was actually in Thailand on a mission trip that got back last Sunday. And one of the, we were visiting different ministries that our church supports there. We spent a lot of time with Partners Relief and Development, which if you've been around the church much, you've heard about them. They do relief and development work, not surprisingly, in Thailand, Burma, and now also in the Middle East. But we were looking at some of the work they're doing along the border of Thailand and Burma. And we got to go down and take a nice long drive to this area where we visited several different projects. And the people that we met were Tupo and Nana, a couple. They are Karen people along the border there in between Thailand and Burma, along that border area, the Karen people live. And they've been facing, you've heard about this from Partners Relief and Development over the years, but they've been facing violence from the Burma army for decades, really. They've been at war. The army has forced many of these people out of their villages. They've burned things down. The people can't go back to their farms and to their land, and they're stuck, many of them, in refugee camps in Thailand. Others have moved to other villages, but they still don't have land available to them. So life is very hard for the Karen people right now. Although there's relative peace in the land, they are still unsure about whether they should or could go back to their lives from before. Many of them don't even know anything but living in a refugee camp. So Tupo and Nana are Karen people. They've experienced the same things that the rest of the Karen have, but they were afforded miraculously, you could say. They were able to get ID cards in Thailand, the legal papers for them to live in Thailand. That's very rare. That's like the ticket for a Karen person to get that. That means you can live in Thailand, you can work in Thailand, you can become a Thai citizen, you can have everything that you didn't have before. So that's what they got for themselves. They got the ID cards and for their children. It's very rare for the Karen people to get that, this new life, a new start in Thailand. So they had a choice to make. At this point, Tupo and Nana could have chosen to store up for themselves treasures on earth. I noticed in Thailand that materialism is quite alive and well there. There's some of the largest stores. I mean, it puts any store I've seen around here to shame. I mean, y'all lived in Thailand. I mean, they've got some really big stores. It's an amazing, amazing place to go shopping and see stuff, and little shops and big shops and everything. They could have stored up for themselves treasures on earth, but instead they've chosen to store up for themselves treasures in heaven. And this is how they've done it. They've focused on helping their people. So they do live in Thailand, but they live right on the border, near the area where they've lived for their whole lives, I think. They live in that same area, but they live on the Thailand side, and they're focused on helping those Karen people who are still stuck in Burma. They're focused on helping the other Karen who are in refugee camps. We got to attend the closing ceremony for a little teacher training that they just had for about 25 teachers. These are teachers who have no formal training in education. They just have started teaching in these schools in Burma. So a couple of weeks of training from experienced educators is a huge deal for them. They were super thankful. Tupo and Nana have helped with a project with some goats to provide a way to pay teachers for a particular school. The goats provide an income for these teachers. And that's actually on Tupo's own land that he lets the whole goat project happen. They're connecting, coordinating and connecting people with need on one side with the people who have resources on the other. And they've devoted their lives to this. And they've invested in this way in the things of heaven, putting their treasure in heaven. And I think it's a great example. They're investing in the kinds of things that do not perish. I found it very convicting to see the kind of life that they chose when given the option to go either way. I would argue, and this is really why I'm convicted about this, I would argue that most every one of us here this morning has been given even more privilege than Tupo and Nana. In our own context, we have all kinds of privilege for some reason. So what are we doing with that? Are we storing up treasures in heaven? Or are we storing up treasures on earth? Jesus makes it clear. Leah said it in the children's sermon. Jesus makes it clear. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If you want your heart to be in heaven, then that's where we need to be putting our treasures. If you want your heart on earth, then that's where you store the treasure. But wherever your treasure is, your heart follows. So Thanksgiving is this week, and you'll all have some sort of interruption to your normal, regular routine and schedule. Maybe you're going out of town. Most of the people who are going out of town probably already left, but maybe the rest of us are going out of town. Maybe you're staying in town, but you're not working. Maybe you're working less or different hours. Whatever it is, I want you to try to find some time this week. It's actually a great time to be thinking about this during the week of Thanksgiving. Find some time to examine your own life. Examine how you're stewarding, how you're managing the resources, the life, the money, the time that God has given to you. How are you managing it? Are you investing and spending on treasures that are in heaven or on earth? Where are you investing your money? Where are you spending your time? Ask these questions in the context of giving thanks to God. I mean, it's Thanksgiving after all, right? But I think it's a wonderful time to talk about this, because Thanksgiving is a time where we can remember, and as we give God thanks, we can remember that everything belongs to God. Thank you, God, for giving me these resources to use. They're really yours, but thank you that you've given it to me. Thanksgiving is a time for us to remember everything belongs to God. I want to close with this quote from the missionary and martyr, Jim Elliot. It's probably the most famous thing that he ever said. It's a really good reminder for us this morning as we talk about this scripture. Jim Elliot says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." So let's ask God for some help with all of this as we go to communion.